Okay, turn to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. Seeing how you're on the right, then you read the main scripture. Exodus 5, 6 through 9.
So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words."
Okay, so we're going to talk about jobs and dominion, and very important that you understand the issue of how your job can affect your ministry, your spiritual life, and fruitfulness and destiny. And our scripture here shows us that when people want to do the will of God, that there comes an assault, and the assault is centered around their job. And that's a very important issue. So let's think. First thought has to do with the devil will fight you in your job. And this scripture just simply shows the ancient strategy of the enemy. And that is that he tries to make their work harder in order to hinder their spiritual life. The request is, let us go that we can serve God, or that we can worship God. And so it is in response to that good desire. I want to do something right. I want to do something for God. The assault in particular here, it begins with their job. I'm going to make your job so hard that you are unable to do the will of God. So that just shows us a strategy that's ongoing even to this day, that the devil tries to get involved in your job in one way or another. In other words, to set stumbling blocks in front of you so that you can't do the will of God. Why would he do that? Probably because it's an easy target. I am unaware that any of you are independently wealthy and you don't need a job. I'm assuming that all of you need a job in order to eat. And you may have a job, but you definitely need a job. And and it consumes a large portion of our life. And so because of that, because it is central to our life one way or another, whether you have a job, whether you don't have a job, or whether your job is good or bad, if he can assault your job, notice this, we want to worship, he attacks their job. So by attacking your job, you attack more than just their job. You actually influence family, ministry, and all kinds of things. So think about two targets in the battle. Number one is the devil will target you in time. This is a simple starting point, and that is that he wants to keep you away from the things of God. Pharaoh says these people are idle, they have too much time. So let's take away their time. If they don't have straw, if they have to get that, then let's make it so that they don't have the time to do the will of God. And so this is a strategy of hell. I'm not talking about, you know, your job one Wednesday you had to work a little late and therefore you're going to burn in hell. That is not what I'm talking about. But there are jobs, and it's very common that you have a job to where you, for one reason or another, this makes it chronically impossible to do the will of God. You have unpredictable schedules. There are guys that get jobs. It's like, yep, I got a job. When are you working? Who knows? And it's something that is totally unpredictable. You don't know if you're going to have time off, so therefore you can't make a commitment because I don't know if I'm going to be here. Then the great strategy is you have a job and you have to work, you know, nights and weekends. So therefore, you cannot worship God. You can't do the will of God. But hey, you've got a job. And though that is a strategy. And then, of course, then just jobs that make it that where you have no option but to work such long hours that you have no time or energy for your family, let alone for the things of God. That is a strategy. He's trying to use your job to target your time. And you need to recognize this, that this is something that is supernatural. And then, of course, the second thing is that he targets your finances. And this is connected to your job. It's common in discipleship that guys who say, I want to do the will of God, they encounter difficulties in finances. There's a car breakdown, there's some issue that is facing them, they're under pressure. And so the answer many times is, I need to work a second job, longer hours, more hours, whatever it might be. And so by targeting your money, he actually now causes your job to consume your life. And you need to recognize that connection. And then, of course, is that in the loss of a job and trying to frustrate people from finding work, and that is those are all issues, and the Bible says that the enemy is a part of that. The Bible speaks of Job, that in his when the enemy targeted him, we know in chapter 1 that it's from hell. The devil seeks access, and the Bible says that the messengers came and they said, your crops, your animals. So in other words, this was his job. In his case, would have been his business. It's burnt up. You are not going to be able to survive like you used to, because there's a target. So you have to recognize this, that there is something supernatural. This supersedes and goes beyond economies and other issues, that there is a supernatural issue. So let's talk secondly about jobs and dominion. Because your job then is a dominion issue. Many men, they fail to see that the spiritual side of life, it runs all through life. It's not merely at church. You know, God is going to be here this morning. But they fail to see that there's a spiritual dimension that runs through every part. In your family, your marriage, your children, your job. That this is crucial, and your job, because it involves such a large percentage of your life, then this will involve spiritual issues. And so you have to understand, it's targeted spiritually, because it's not meant just to bum you out. It's not just meant to make you sad or to make your life difficult, although I'm sure he enjoys that. But the issue is the spiritual ramifications that comes into play. What's going on in the book of Exodus is they are deciding, the children of Israel are deciding, who is the God of our life? Moses comes and reminds them, remember God. He is the God of your life. He's the one, and he has the revelation of God as Jehovah, God, I am. And so the issue within Egypt was they were run by gods, and Pharaoh is the spokesman of the gods. So the real issue is, who is the God in your life? And that is something that you have to decide for yourself. And God makes you decide. That's why I know that the disciples, even guys, that they've not had financial trouble as far as if we're talking in discipline. But they will experience problems on the job with the boss, problems financially, because you have to settle this issue. And this is supernatural. Who is God? Who is the God of your life? Is it your boss? Or is it God? Is it President Obama? Or is it God? That's a crucial. Who provides for you? Your boss or your God or God or the president or God, who gave you the job that you have right now, or who gives jobs. That's what's crucial. That was the Egyptian mindset is more than just, yeah, Pharaoh was this guy, and they went and talked to him. No, no. There were the gods. What do you need in life? Then you worship Ra, the sun god. You worship the war god, the finance god, the sex god. What do you need? You go to him. And he says, no, I'm telling you about the one God, and he is the one in every area of life. That would have been radical to the Egyptians. So, if you desire to do something for God, the issue is, when are you going to get dominion in your work? And that is, when are you going to get dominion in work, or for some of you, over your work? And, you know, we're all called to have dominion, and we're called to have dominion in all of life. But this is about the future. Remember, Moses is telling him, I want you to leave. God wants you to leave Egypt. So you're going someplace. You are headed to the promised land. You have a future. So on this day, they have to decide in their job because they're headed for the future. A lot of guys say, you know, this is, there are so many directions that we could go in this. There are guys that they're terrible workers now, but I'm going to have a destiny someday. It starts with your job. Very fascinating to me. We want to go to the promised land. And what does he assault first? Their job. So that has to be settled and decided now, and gaining dominion in finances, because someday the idea is that when you pastor, you are able to support yourself. And you are able to cut back from work if necessary so that you can build the church. Those are issues that guys get stuck on. We have guys that I say, if you can't get a job, you got to come home. Simple as that. You don't have dominion. That would be something you need to make sure you have dominion in now, because those are crucial issues. Because the whole point is, if we send a guy out and we give an understanding, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, that he is going to find a job so he can support himself. So then you get guys, oh, it's, you know, the economy's tight here. So six stretches into nine into a year, you know, and they still want to be. And so finally it comes to, if you can't get a job, you can't pastor. That's a dominion issue. How can you build a church? You can't get a job. That's a crucial factor that has to be battled through right now. And then when you have a job, then these issues of not letting it consume you in your time, arranging your finances so that that's not your entire life. If you're a pastor, you know, the pastors here are full-time, but there are a lot of churches that they have a pastor who works. Imagine you show up on Wednesday night, oh, sorry, yeah, pastor, he can't preach tonight because, oh, he had to work. You know, is that going to work? I mean, is that going to be a workable situation? No. So these are issues you have to fight through. Now let's look at, finally, getting dominion at work. Getting dominion here is first of all recognizing the problem, that this is spiritual. You may be battling in an economy, you may be battling with a boss, you may be battling with certain situations, but behind the problems here of the bricks without straw was Pharaoh. Pharaoh, we know, is a type or a symbol of Satan, the devil. And so what they needed was a supernatural deliverance. They needed faith in divine guidance and provision. So the answer here, we didn't take time to read all this, is that when Moses gets this decree from Pharaoh, you're going to make bricks without straw, he takes it to God. That is a simple and important issue. So if you don't have a job, if your job is keeping you out of church, if your job means that you have to work such long hours that you can't function or commit yourself to any kind of ministry, that needs to be taken to God. The second issue has to do with recognizing your provider. And this is what we have to keep in mind, is that God is the provider. Your boss is not the provider. Obama is not our provider. God is the provider. Deuteronomy 8:18, you remember the Lord your God. It's He who gives you the power to get wealth. So asking for a job is a spiritual, jobs are spiritual. And there's no man that has a destiny. That's why it tells us, we know what Moses was doing when he was called. We know what Matthew, what Peter, different ones they were doing when they were called, because that is that's an important issue. So God wants to get involved. That's the point of this story. In your job, God wants to get involved, and it's for your future. You can have dominion. Don't you think that God would be happy when you bring to Him, I need a job with ours so that I can serve you? Wouldn't that be something that He would be pleased to get involved in? And that is that's something important. I was talking this over with Jonathan Heimberg, and he said he was working at Taco Bell here in Prescott, and he's 16 years old, and he went to them and he said, I have to have Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays off. And they said, fast food doesn't work that way when you're 16 years old. But he said he just prayed to God and said, God, I want to serve God. I want to be involved in ministry, and I need you to do a miracle. And according to him, he says he never ever, in any of his jobs, ever had to work through church. And so only ever once missed an outreach because of work. Because that is a decision you have to make, but that also is something that God would be pleased to get involved in. So the children of Israel here, they saw God step into their situation, and our scripture says stepped into their job situation to bring deliverance so they can do the will of God. That is something that is a basic of discipleship. And that would be a starting point. And I often get, I get guys that ask the question, I'm stirred, I'm excited, I want to do something for God. And conference stirred them, discipleship class stirred them. What can I do? And they want me to give them, I think maybe they're expecting me to give them an incredibly difficult task. You know, you are to search for the lost Holy Grail that's never been seen since the Middle Ages, and you will wander through the valley. Where? What does it say here? Is you need to win the battle in your job. You want to have a destiny in the Promised Land? Win the battle in your job. For some of you, winning the battle may be A, getting a job. For some of you, that might be being a good worker, a reliable worker on your job. Others, that may be either adjusting your job or getting a job that means you have decent hours. Others of you, that's a financial issue. Your job is insufficient. What all along the line, if you want a future in God, you need to get dominion in your job. Okay, let's open for questions then. Stephen?
Working, I can speak from a little bit of experience, but being a disciple and working at Superior, I remember there's different times when a position would open up, like either a management position of some kind, and I always felt like hesitant to even apply for it because I didn't want, okay, if I get into a management position, I'll be making a little bit more money, but is it going to take away more of my time? That's for Superior, but what would you say for other places? Should a disciple look to advance themselves in whatever job they're in as far as a supervisor position or...
Well, yeah, I mean, every job is different, so you can't make a blanket statement. But anybody in your job, you have to decide, first of all, being a disciple is making up your mind what you want to do in life. Once you do that, every decision becomes a destiny decision. So therefore, you do it. There are jobs where, yes, I think you ought to work hard, and a lot of times it's a matter of our work speaks for itself, and so that's why promotions come. In some jobs, that is not a problem. Other jobs, that would be a problem. That it adds, then you got to work later hours, longer hours, you got to be there. A management position in many places, I have no idea how it works in manufacturing, but let's say in most places, in any kind of retail, fast food, anything else, is you get a salary and you're expected to live there, right? We'll pay you a higher salary, but you'll work there all of the hours. anything. That's it. That's your job. For the privilege of having a higher salary. That's not workable, right? So, man, I'm advancing, but now you're actually spiritually regressing. Now, in other places, no. It would be, that would not be the case. And so that would be weighed on a case by case. But overall, once you settle, I am called, or I'm not called, but if you're called, every decision becomes a destiny decision. Should I take it? It's not. That's not an hourly rate. What is that going to mean? Well, no. That means I got to work, you know, I have practice on X night, so no, I can't do that. You know. Somebody else? Another question?
I can just say from where I'm at now, it was crazy because it was real. In the beginning, I prayed specifics for the job I have right now, and God answered it like 2 weeks to the day. It blew my mind, and I had a lot of dominion. And then the boss's son came up from Phoenix. I'm talking like the number one boss in Division 20 in Northern Arizona, and he came. He worked on my crew, and it was like teeth and nail. I had to drag myself out of bed and took everything in me not to say stuff and respond. But and then just things were going, accusations and stuff, and people in the company, other workers said, they're lying about you, Justin. I said, I know. I said, this is crazy. But I prayed like you said. I said, no, God, this was your promise. You said, you gave me this. Now I need you because I can't do anything about this. And I had people like going to the boss, like defending me, that completely were mocking me when I first started, because I would just tell them about Jesus. And it's eventually turned, and now like it's insane. And like you said, just if you trust in God and just say, and I held God to His promises. And I was like, this is kind of crazy, you know, this is God, and I'm going to hold you to your promise. But He did. He everything, like the kid, Ryan, now, he likes me, and he'll ask me questions about church. And the other guys, like, it's just, it's like I have that favor back again, but I feel like God, He wanted me to make that decision. Like you said, what are you going to do? Because I wanted to run. And then, on top of that, in Proverbs 24:20, I wanted to get a new job. I was at that point in my head. I read, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I was like, okay. So, doable.
Good.
So, if you're pioneering or if you're taking over a church, is there, I mean, obviously it's going to be based on your skill set or your experience, what kind of job you look for, if you don't have explosive revival and go off of support right away. It's usual that when you pioneer, you find a job across the board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then, is it just based on your experience and skills, or do you look specifically for a particular type of job, like with, I guess, because the schedule is so important with being a pastor. But are you just
so that's a crucial factor. You obviously can't you can't take a job that requires you to miss church, and then of course in pioneering you can't take a job that means you can't outreach.
Okay, yeah. So it's not just church. It's when are you going to do the outreach and stuff? Okay.
But and so that's why it's more than a job issue. It's a finance issue. If you're horribly in debt. Debt changes all the factors. There's when Lisa and I went out in the ministry, we didn't own, probably could fit everything we own in the back of a pickup truck, but on the other hand, we didn't owe any money to anybody. So it meant we could live on very little. So that changed the factors as well. And so that becomes a factor. If you have debt, you make your life much harder automatically. Is because now you have to have this, or it's going to cause extreme problems. So, yeah, you got to have a job that's workable. But that would be something that you should. Surely, right now, I mean, you have no idea whether you're going to be planted out next year, 2 years, 5 years. But that'd be something you should pray about in advance. Don't wait until you're announced and go, oh yeah, now I need to pray about a job. Surely you could pray in advance. If God is able to cause Paul to meet Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, surely God could cause God to give you a boss whose heart the Lord opened to give you a job. Right? That would be something that is important. Somebody else? Phil?
Maybe you could tell me if I'm offering, but I don't think God necessarily has an exact job thou shalt work at Taco Bell or whatever for everyone, but I do think he has specific direction and a way he wants people to go. And the reason I said it, I remember I did pastor for almost 3 years once, and this was probably the biggest struggle when I first got to that town was getting a job. If you weren't a Mormon, you pretty much weren't going to get a good job in that town.
Yeah.
And it was the jobs you could get. Man, I'm the pastor, and I'm missing outreaches at my church. You know, I've got groups coming in from out of town, and guys in the church and my wife are running the thing. This is horrible.
Yeah.
And I remember praying and crying out, and God literally herded me into starting a business for myself. I would have never had the confidence to do it. It was so scary, and I had zero confidence, but all of a sudden it seemed like other pastors who were doing it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, jobs just literally falling in my lap. God couldn't have been more obvious. And then the job I was at, when I even mentioned the subject to my boss that I wanted to maybe give a notice, he immediately fired me. So I kind of had to do this. But it became apparent that God just said, I will help you. I want to bless you here. And just the amount of faith that built in me at that time, I am now confident in the dry times of the year when there's no work that God will hear and miraculously give work. He will give me good people who will just dump a blessing on us. I'm confident I could go anywhere, anytime, and work for myself and start, you know, and do what I'm doing now. And it's just remembering that the confidence that God put in me at that point. I had other failures there, but God gave me something there that I'll never forget.
Yep.
It was a confidence. He can do anything, anytime, anywhere.
Yep. You should look in John 6. Off the top of my head, I want to say 24, but find the scripture where it says he asked them how they're going to eat, and it says, for he himself knew what he would do. In other words, Jesus already knew the solution. You ought to pray for God to lead you to his solution that he already has worked out. Prayer is not a matter of you ask God and God starts going, what are we going to do? He already knows what the solution is. So ask God, show me your solution in advance. Be praying before you ever get there. What will be your solution? And give me that.
The thing about that scripture that talking about giving, and it says, test me in this and see if I'll bless you. Is that like a valid prayer, like when you're looking for a job, like you need a certain amount of money an hour or something? Is that valid to be like, well, God, look, I've given? And
yeah, absolutely. That's a matter of, that's a basis of faith. And that is the issue. So, put me to the test, I'll pour out a blessing. Some people that scripture spins them out because they get offended because there's any battle in life. Go, wait a minute. I've been tithing. How dare you let me be in a position where I'm struggling? So it doesn't say you'll never struggle, but there'll be a factor that will overcome. So that's absolutely a valid prayer, and you will see Nehemiah and Isaiah, different ones, that they prayed according to what God already said. God, you said if we would do this. That's a valid prayer, absolutely. And that's a matter of, the reason why that's important is not that you use that to get God's arm behind his back. Prayer, the basis of prayer is, I already know what the will of God is, so I have confidence. It's not a shot in the dark. I know that you are able. You said this. So therefore I'm asking. I need. you know, and that would be something. I'm you're calling me to do the will of God, so therefore I need a job that has decent hours or decent money or whatever it might be.
Pastor, so like when you go to another, like a third country, world country, how easy is to get a job there? You know, because we're, you know, we come from the United States and it's really easy to get a job, you know?
Yeah, you know, that depends. That all depends. In most situations, we are sending people to nations that they are not from. So we don't send our missionaries primarily to get jobs. Whereas we send them and support them. That's the main way. Now, there may be some exceptions. The exceptions may be there are nations that's the only way they can get in a visa, and so they are required to do some work. That may be valid. Or you may have someone who, I am from this country, I have a burden for my nation, and therefore, whereas it may not be at that point in life to where they'd be someone you would send to China, Russia, somewhere else, but yes, we could. So it may be possible that they may need to work. So, but in general circumstances, when we send people from America, we don't do that on a working basis, mostly. We do that on a salary basis. David?
I worked at Fry's for a long time. I was working nights, and it was kind of tough, but it was workable. Ministry usually. And then I went to school and became a nurse, but like for 3 years, 3.5 years, I could never find a job that was actually compatible with any kind of ministry. Like, 12-hour shift, working in Phoenix. Well, first it was 3 or 4 different part-time jobs at a time, and then, you know, working in Phoenix and 12-hour shift, and then it was working here, but 2 in the afternoon to 2:30 in the morning, working every other weekend. So it's just like really bad, really rough. And my wife and we always had like financial catastrophes, like every 6 months or so, something really bad would happen, cost thousands of dollars. And it was just like really frustrating. But we kind of challenged that, I guess, in offering a conference. And then 4 months later, something opened up. And then I was about to start the new position last January, and we gave a really big offering for us. And that's all God spoke to me to give. And it's just, after January, it's like supernatural. God's got to open up the door for a job that actually I work normal hours, I can sit at night.
Yep.
I can actually be in ministry and total dominion and favor with my boss. And I don't know why, and that wasn't really as much of an issue before I started doing the job I'm doing now, but now in this particular profession, for some reason I have such a struggle to break through. But
yeah,
you know,
so
God really helped us. But I'm saying, you know, it's possible. No matter what, God has a strategy, and you've got the answer.
Absolutely, and that's what you can have the confidence in. But that's the whole point of discipleship, is training. None of you will, on your job, not have a situation to where you have to bring your job to God. That's the point. Somebody's like, no, I got a good job. Well, it might, you know, like you said, you might have a change of boss. Change of economy, you know, there's a lot of ways that things change, but the issue is that God makes you face this because you need to. You don't want to have a perfectly smooth life and go into ministry. That would be unfair. That would be like someone who's never even had a fight in life. You throw them in the den of lions. Here you go. Praise the Lord. And so you want to go through some fights. That's not a bad thing. So. Yes.
Is there a level of perseverance that goes along with gaining dominion?
Mm-hmm. You know, going from in my own life, I've gone from job to job, and each job has had, you know, the potential to be this great thing, and then when I get into it, it crashes and burns around me, and then God moves me to another one, and it's constant. Like a lot of the things you were talking about this morning, just about, you know, working long hours or having a job where in my current job I'm gone all the time. You know, they pay the bills, but it's never enough, and it never leaves any opening for anything else, and it's just constant. It's like I'm banging my head against the wall. So I mean, my question is obviously I need dominion in it, and I've been praying for it, laying hold of God for it. But is there just a level of, you know, I just kind of like the Job thing, where it's just like, well, I'm just going to go through this, and I'm going to fight and keep facing forward and doing what I need to do, and eventually this is going to open up into something that God can.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's a balance in life. You have to, you know, number one is you need a job. That would be rule number one. A person needs a job. In other words, I get occasionally someone who doesn't use common sense. They've been out of work for 9 months. They're asking the church to give them money so they can eat, and someone offered them a job, but they don't get off until 7 o'clock Wednesday. So I said, absolutely not, you devil. You know, that doesn't make common sense,
right?
You need a job. How about you get a job and then start working on more favorable, like David is saying, you work towards a favorable situation. My point is, you don't, you know, the point of this lesson is A, to open your eyes that it's supernatural. Everything is supernatural. You got to see this. It's like, oh, I need a job. I got to pay the bills. It's supernatural, and your future is involved. And so, so seeing that is that, yes, you may have times where you got to work through situations, but it certainly is not something that's obviously not a long-term workable solution in life, is it? So you need to eat, yes, but you need to at some point get a breakthrough, and so that is not the permanent situation. Yeah? You got to help you. Very good. Okay. That's all I have.